So as we have been studying in the last class, this 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita is about our true nature, the real being that we are, the ultimate being. The name, therefore, of this chapter is Purushottama Yoga. Purusha is the one who is residing in this city of the body. We have the body, we feel sometimes that, or more often than not, that the body is I. But a body is a house, or you can say, since it is moving, you can compare it to a vehicle in which the being is seated. That being is what we refer to as I. And who is that being? And we discover through the process of deep penetrative illumination that it is nothing but God. In the 13th chapter, there was a wonderful illumination given about it. And then in 14th chapter, we saw how the transcendence of the changing and apparent gradually leads us to this realization of this. And also 14th chapter ended in telling us to concentrate, meditate and love this divine within. That is the lesson that is to be furthered in the 15th chapter through a very beautiful telling discourse in a very sublime language. And therefore, sometimes this chapter is called a condensed Bhagavad Gita, or in fact, the condensed Vedanta itself. Shankaracharya explains it in the end of this chapter, where this word comes, that this is the scripture. Lord called this chapter as scripture. And then Shankara explains there that this is scripture because the essence of the whole Vedas is in Bhagavad Gita. And then the essence of Bhagavad Gita again is condensed in this 15th chapter. Of course, you may ask this question, that then why are we wasting time in studying all chapter 1 to 18? We have been studying it for all for last 4.5 years or so. For 4 years we have been studying it. And why you wasted our time? You should have just taken up only 15 chapters and the job would have been done very quickly. Friends, the answer to this is that the condensed aspect becomes really useful after we study, understand the bigger picture, the whole thing. And then the condensed part of it is good to keep it in memory. Otherwise, only condensed part would have been of not much use. It is condensed way is good to carry to, it is that like, why do you actually have to listen to all those songs? And they are in the condensed form in your iPod or whatever, you know. Just they are there, but why do you need to bring them out for storage and to keep it with us? Condensed form is good. But to actually use, you need an expanded form. So, therefore, the expanded form also is necessary. And then that alone makes the condensed form really meaningful, useful. And so, this idea is to show how tremendously important this chapter is. And we have been seeing that this whole universe was being compared to a tree. The tree that has the root up and the branches all going down. And then those branches are multiplying and multiplying endlessly. This is what we can see the world right around us. There is no end to be seen, no beginning to be seen. And we see that it grows. The root of it is above and is not seen. Scientists keep on looking at it, that where from this world came, and then the answers keep on changing, varying. It came from Big Bang. Where did Big Bang come from? Again, that question still remains, that it is like that, that you don't understand the answer to this question as to where it all came from. The question comes to us right from the child's mind to a grown-up person, a very old man. They also, everybody gets this question, how did this arise, where from did it come, what makes it go on like this, and who really am I? All these questions come up, and the answers to all these seem to be not very satisfying when we just take help of our empirical means of knowledge. And therefore Lord says that the comprehensive knowledge of this whole thing is really the true knowledge. Yastam Vedasya Vedavit, that the one who knows the root, the branches, the whole tree of this world comprehensively, with all the interconnections and so forth, not just relying on our senses. Our senses give only a very limited picture of this universe. It is all our science, and all is contained within what is shown by our limited senses and mind. And anything that is beyond is not perceptible to us. And therefore it is not a comprehensive knowledge. For comprehensive knowledge, therefore, one has to expand this our understanding by going beyond what senses alone are teaching. So, this knowledge therefore is imparted in this chapter by taking us deeper, taking us beyond the limited range of our physical senses. Our mind and physical senses, they are kind of a program through which we understand it. It is, and so what is making this program, we can never know it. It is therefore a very limited knowledge. Again, we are never sure of its accuracy, and so we see the research goes on. We say that science progresses. It's a very nice word, but what it really means is what we know today is not ultimately true, because it is going to progress, and so tomorrow's science is going to tell us something different than what we know today. This has been the history of physical sciences, that somebody discovers something and then gradually people get accustomed to it, try to see that all facts fit into it. Then somebody comes up and sees that some fact is not fitting in it. So now comes the question, that do we distort the fact or we change the theory. And the theory needs to be changed. The fact cannot be given up. Fact is fact. And so, therefore, the theory gets changed. That is how our understanding keeps on expanding about this universe, and there is no end to it. So it is said here that in the second verse of this chapter that we saw last time, that it is just growing, expanding without any control from us and without any understanding how it happens. The evolutionists, they have one idea. Very good, you know, it's a good attempt. But then their contradictions creep in into that too. It is, and they, again, the question remains whether God also evolves or doesn't evolve. Is there a God? And if the God is there, is God also subject to evolution or not? It's a good question that where do you see this evolution ultimately ending? And the word evolution is a very nice word, but the limitation associated with this word is how do we understand? Swami Vivekananda has a wonderful discussion on this point. How do you label a change as evolution? Change is, we know that something changed, and change cannot be stopped. But whether a change is evolution or not evolution, how do you recognize that it is an evolution? Yes, it is from monkey human being. It is certainly a change, even if you find it out that really that is how it happened, it is a change. But how do you call that as evolution? Man to monkey, will it be evolution or not? Human beings may not agree to that, but maybe monkeys might be thinking like that, that we are evolved from human beings. These human beings, they do not have tail also, see. They just have only tail bones, so gradually they will get a tail and then they will come to our level. So, what will you call evolution is very difficult. This is how all our knowledge is cramped in uncertainties. So, therefore, it is said here that nobody knows. That is how the third verse begins. Third verse and fourth verse, really, they are together, and while they are showing the limitation of this kind of understanding, they also point out that what needs to be done to go beyond those limitations. Pointing out to defects is easy, but it doesn't really solve the problem if we are not shown the remedy to get rid of those defects. This third and fourth verse together, actually the sentence doesn't become complete in the third verse, and therefore the translation for the third and fourth verse is given together, because there the verse has limitations in terms of meter. So one verse ends when as many words required by the meter are put there, so that verse ends. But the sentence is not complete, it continues in the next verse. So let me read the verse third and fourth, and we shall see the meaning of it.
नरूपमस्येह तथोपलभ्यते नान्तो न चादिर न च संप्रतिष्ठा अश्वत्थमेनं सुविरूढमूलं असंगच्छस्त्रेण दृढेन चित्वा ततः पदं तत्परिमार्गितव्यम् यस्मिन् गता न निवर्तन्ति भूयः तमेव चाद्यं पुरुषं प्रपद्ये यतः प्रवृत्ति प्रसृता पुराणी.
Its form as such is not experienced here, nor its end, nor its beginning, nor its continuity. Having severed this deep-rooted Ashwatha tree with the strong weapon of non-attachment, one should next seek that goal, reaching which they do not return, saying, I seek refuge in that primordial Purusha from whom this eternal process has sprung. These two verses actually contain an ocean of really meaning into these compact words, that its form is not as such experienced. Our experience is very limited, so as this whole thing is, we never experience. Therefore, the highest knowledge here is that I don't know. That becomes the highest knowledge about this world. I do not know. I know certain things, and that too within certain limitations, but beyond that I do not understand anything. So that is how this world as it appears to us is. And then it is very difficult to really get rid of this whole world. Many times, especially when the troubles and the problems they start coming up, we feel, let me just get out of this mess. This is all anyway seems to be changing and unreal. What is real in this? I don't know. I don't understand anything. Let me just get away from all this mess. I don't understand who is I, who is mine. Sometimes this person appears to be mine, but then next minute there is a quarrel ensues, and then you know that that person is not mine, appeared to be mine, but not really mine. It is very funny, but that is how this world is. That and so we sometimes feel, let me get out of it. Let me just cut this whole experience aside and go away, run away somewhere. And that is an impulse that everybody gets from time to time. It is not uncommon that the impulse, therefore, to end the life comes to many people. There are those psychological disorders where the suicidal tendencies become very strong. But forget about them being very strong. Every person sometimes, when at the moment of frustrations, that you feel, okay, I don't want this life anymore, enough, enough. It is you get that sense of frustration. What can I do? My near and dear, they don't care for me anymore. My wife doesn't listen to me. My husband doesn't care for me, and so forth. My children, look, I just raised them with such care. I sacrificed so much for them, and they don't care for me anymore. What is this? There is no point in living this life. One gets frustrated and feels that, okay, let me end my life. And we don't act on it. We have better sense that it soon prevails. The changing nature is helps there, that the thoughts keep on changing. So the suicidal thought, even if it comes, Fortunately, like many other thoughts that come and go, this thought also goes, comes and goes. Those who have that thought working, remaining for a longer time, it gets into action. When a thought gets time to be there for a long time, then it gets into action. And therefore, those who are known to have this kind of tendency, it is told by the caregivers, the doctors and such people, that don't let that person be alone for too long a time. Be around and then let that person get something so that the thoughts keep on changing, coming and going, so that that thought of suicide doesn't rest for too long a time to act on. There is a very nice saying, therefore, in Sanskrit, that shubhasya shigram, that if you get a good thought, and not that every time we get it, but all of us, even the worst person in the world, sometimes or other would get some very noble, holy, good thought. And now when we get that good thought, what is told, you know, Nancy, it is said, when you get the good thought, act on it. Act on it, because you don't know how long that thought is going to remain, you know. It is, next moment that thought will go away. And then, that is shubhasya shigram, ashubhasya kalaharanam. Very beautiful idea. And many times we get some bad thoughts, violent thoughts, hateful thoughts. Now what is told there? Don't act on that. Even if you get it, tell yourself, what is the hurry? Let me wait. What happens? If you wait, that thought also goes away after a time, and then you are saved from that horrible action which otherwise you might have committed. So, the idea here is that in this flux one gets these thoughts as to what is the purpose of my life, of this world, I don't want it. It is, but you cannot get rid of it. That is the problem. It again all comes back. Even if you try to run away from it, it all just comes back in various different forms. And thus you remain kind of tied. There is a very nice song by Kabir that this Maya, world bewitching Maya, the power of the divine, because of which the one appears as many. It looks like many, and therefore we become convinced of the reality of many. That I have one soul, that fellow has another soul, this fellow has third soul. And we become kind of convinced of that idea. How that one appears as many, that is called Maya. Now, you want to get rid of Maya, but again, in the attempt to get rid of Maya, you fall in another Maya. That you say, no, let me get rid of this whole Maya. It is, let me become a Swami. I will not have any family or anything. Well, you get a Swami Maya, a different type of Maya, but you get caught in that. It is, you say, no, I will be a spiritual aspirant. So I will do these things. And then one forgets at times that if we are not careful, those very things can become a bondage. A sense of ego gets generated, associated with that. It may be better than the other sense of ego, that it is, if you are, suppose somebody is a thief, then that idea that, well, I am a thief ego, may not be as good as I am a noble person. That ego, both are egos, but one may be better than another, that's all. But that becomes again a bondage. So therefore a constant effort of introspection is very necessary. So what is told here that there is this Ashwatthamenam Suvirudhamulam, that this tree, its roots have gone so deep. You cut the tree, the branches, again you see the shoots coming up and doesn't go. It is very difficult because the roots are very deep and they are very strong. So, you keep on trying to cut it. But the sometimes very efforts to cut it, it brings new life to it. You might have seen those horticulturists and those who maintain gardens, many times they cut certain those branches and leaves. Now you cut them and you see the more growth just coming up. So here also it sometimes happens that you feel you have to cut it. First of all, that desire doesn't come to cut it. Because we do not want to get rid of it, we usually want to make it better. That it is very troublesome. Let me make it better, that this person is not behaving well with me and that is why I have so much of problem. So I will get rid of this person and live with another person. Then that will be so nice. We don't want to get rid of it. We want to just make it better. Put some scent on it so that it will not smell that bad. That is how we try to just change the world, because we are so attached. If you ask somebody, they say that what is bad about it? It is so nice. Okay, then it will therefore keep on piling more and more trouble on you. We do not want to get rid of it. Secondly, when we want to get rid of it, if that moment comes in life when we feel we should get rid of it, this world is full of contradictions. There is no making it better. There is absolutely no way of making this world good, nice, wonderful, and always pleasant. Absolutely no way of making this world better. The world is as such perfect. Why it is perfect? It is perfect because it provides us perfect instrument to do spiritual practice, to become detached. It provides us so many opportunities to be detached by making us frustrated. At least that will bring some sense in us, that you should, this is not real, let us get away from it. It is, that is, in that sense the world is perfect. It is very good that it provides a lot of opportunity to get detached. I told you a story, actually, when I was working as a monk in one of, I was a novice at that time, and was given some work at our publication department along with various spiritual things, classes and all that. You have to do some service, some work also. And there was a publication department there and I was working. That day somehow everything that I was doing was not really becoming successful. Everything was ending in a failure. This is not done, that is not done, that is not. So gradually, and I was reporting that to our manager with crestfallen, you know, the face that it is, it didn't work. Okay, he would say, then go there and see if that works. I would go, no, sorry, that is closed, that doesn't work. Oh my goodness. Okay, call that person, see. So I was doing everything. Everything was ending in failure. So I was feeling so depressed. But that our manager Swami, senior Swami, he said after such four or five things, isn't the situation so good for developing detachment? The situation is so good that you are not interested in getting attached to it now because it is so frustrating. It is a That is how the world provides a lot of these frustrating moments. So, it is good in that sense. So, what is it concludes here is that it should be cut. Do not keep any interest in it. That let me make this world very peaceful. Let me do such charitable works that by that nobody in this world will ever be hungry, nobody will have any want, all will be happy, and let me work for making this world full of happiness. It is not possible. Great sages, they were here, such charitable people, they couldn't make the whole world happy. It is impossible in the nature of the things. And so, give up that idea and know that it has to be this tree of the world has to be cut asunder. How is it to be cut asunder? Asanga shastrena dridhena. The sword or the axe of detachment, the weapon of detachment, has to be held firm, dridhena, because we sometimes hold it but not firmly. So for a minute it works, then you say, no, let me reconcile, it is all right, and so forth. It is to be held firmly. And asanga shastrena dridhena chitva, that is to be chitva means cut. It is don't have any interest in it, don't have any hope in this world. It is hopeless. It is hopeless. Let us remember this, that there is no iota of happiness to be found here. We go for it and then the result is what? We break our own heads. It doesn't, that world cannot give us any happiness. It is only again and again making attempts, hitting our head on the stone and thinking that, well, the stone will break. No, my head breaks, the stone won't break. So, this is one has to get that feeling of complete disinterestedness. That there is nothing in this world. No happiness could be ever found from the world. You may ask, do we not get happiness in the world? We do get, but it is sourced actually in ourselves. You see, and from no other source anybody ever has derived the least happiness. All happiness comes from within only. And so, cut it asunder. This universe is like that. So, and then by this word of detachment you cut it, and then what is to be done? That meditate tatap padam tat parimargitavyam, steadily march towards that infinite, the root of everything here, the divine in us, this true self of ours, whatever name you may give to it, towards that one has to march. That is the goal. One has to make a firm resolve about it. Tatap padam tat parimargitavyam. That word parimargitavyam is not very easy to translate. Margitavyam has been translated. Pari suggests. Margitavyam means that is to be sought after or should be gone for. You have to go for that goal. Forget the world, cut it asunder. No, I don't want anything from here. It is the great resolve has to be made in mind that I will not hope for anything there. There is no hope there. It is to be imprinted on our hearts. There is that story of Buddha, that when he renounced the world, and his friend came to talk him out of it, and he said, "Well, where are you? What are you hoping for by giving up? I agree that there are sufferings in this world, but it is still there. What you are seeking for, do you know is that goal there, or you are just imagining?" And Buddha said, "Well, I am not sure, but I am sure of this, that this world is unreal. There is no hope here. There is possibility there, but here I am perfectly certain that no truth is to be found here." This is a great statement, friends, that that kind of resolve has to be made. No turning back from that our ideal. Go, march. They give the nice example of cutting the ropes. There was that incident. Army wanted to capture. This is a historical incident in Maharashtra, that they attacked an enemy fort, and with great skill somehow they were able to enter. And after the battle that ensued, the general of this army that was trying to capture got killed. It was a fort in the mountain, and now when they saw that their leader is slain, they thought that now our defeat is sure, and so the army started running back from the battle. The brother of this general, he therefore ran ahead. Ahead means where these people were running actually back. He ran back and cut the ropes, using which they had climbed the up the mountain. He cut those ropes and said that, "Well, now you have on that side there is death for sure. If you go there, you are going to just fall down 500 feet on those rocks. Sure death on that side. On this side, you can have a battle and win. You can fight and win on this side. So fight and win. There is no going back." And then these soldiers then won the battle. So that is the kind of now resolve is to be instilled in us, that there is no turning back. That is a gone case. The world, there is nothing in that there. You have to progress ahead. So that is that Parimargitavyam. That ideal is to be sought with all heart and soul. That is why the scriptures, whether it is Christian or Jewish or Islamic, all give this as the first important message. That first important command that is given is that love thy God with all your heart, with all your power, with all your mind. That is the most important thing, that you love that. Forget about everything else. All, that is why, all your heart. Not that 50% heart to my wife, another something to my job, another something to my chicken, and another something to my bees. So then what is left to get to be? Love thy Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. And that all word is very important there. That is how Parimargitavyam. One has to follow that ideal with that intensity. So therefore, many times the primary task becomes to cultivate that intensity. But the message is quite clear, that why do we not realize the truth? The question is, do we really seek it with that attitude and that intensity? If we seek, we will surely find. And how is that ideal? Yasmin gata na nivartanti bhuyah. That being the ideal, getting it, you now do not have to come back. Your goal is reached. That's it. Otherwise, in this world, you get something and you start looking for next something. But this is the real goal. Those things are not goals at all. They were only apparent, those imaginary things, that this is what I want. Okay, you got it. Now, are you satisfied? No, I want something more. It is that a couple of years back, that one lady was very anxious. She was married for a few years and then was not getting child. Had become very restless, that why am I not having a child? And so forth. She comes here and then she was crying for that. After some time she got a child. Then she came after some about 6 months or so and said that should we try for the next child for now or later? First she was saying, just let me have one. Now after she gets one, she starts thinking the next one. It is a never ending thing. It is a very funny idea. But anything in this world is like that. It being not our real desire, you get it, then you seek something else. That this is okay, but I want that now. I got this, but I want something more. So, this is the goal, getting which you don't require anything else, so you don't come back. Otherwise, even after death, you come back, because there are so many desires, so you need to come back to fulfill them. This is the only thing, getting which you become fulfilled. And no further roaming about, you are now satisfied completely. And that is, you. Where do you reach? What is the nature of that goal? That is also told that you take refuge in that goal. And how is that? is the Adhyam Purusham, means the primordial being, from which this whole universe had seemingly arisen. That is the truth, that alone is pervaded in this whole universe. That alone is the reality. So therefore, know that getting that, you don't lose anything. The idea is, many of us get this. I also used to get that thought, that suppose I got God, the grace of God, by a lot of practice, by the processes of purification and all, I get God. But will I get then the satisfaction also of having some other pleasures, or I will miss them? I want to go to Africa and see those nice forests there. Then if I may get God, but then I will not get these things. I also want to become, the world ruler. Shall I become the ruler of this world by realizing God? Well, therefore this thought comes that I may be missing many things. I may get God maybe, but there may be many other things missed. That is why it is told, you won't miss anything. All is with God. It is, God is not one of the many, that like you give those things up and so you get it. It is not in that sense God is one of those things, but everything is included in God. And therefore you don't lose anything. It is like a bag, just for an analogy, that you have many, many things. You cannot really handle them. You try to grab one and then you cannot grab others. This happens with kids so many times. I have seen kids, I don't remember now, but I must have done the same thing. Go into a toy shop. And the kid wants to have this, and then after a while wants to have that, and then wants to have the other thing also. Now, how many things can his hands hold? Cannot hold all these things. So, the hands become full by holding one or maybe two toys, and that's about it. But wants many. So, what is to be done? Take a big bag, put into them, all those. Now you are carrying one thing, but all is put into that one thing. That is the one God. You know, God is that one, not one of the many, but one that includes many. All many is included in this idea of God, and therefore that is, you have to seek that. So you will get everything. Nothing will be missing. It is, and how will you get it? That means also is told, prapadye, beautiful word, that seek refuge. Seek refuge in that Lord. Can I not get it by my efforts? This question comes, that well, that God being all-powerful, it is not subject to your efforts. Otherwise, you will become superior to that God. If by your efforts, if you can get God, then you will be superior to that God, you will be stronger to God, and then that God will not remain God, who is weaker than you. How can that be called God? So therefore, take refuge in that God. As you take refuge in God, you will see that your ego dissolves. What is the idea in taking refuge in God? That false I, ego, I will do this and get it, I can't do this, I will do that, this, I will repeat my mantra a million times and thus I will get God. Well, that I is the problem. And it, therefore, unless that spirit of surrender comes, no. So it is told, tameva prapadye sharanam prapadye, that tameva chadyam purusham prapadye, that he says that I seek refuge in that primordial Purusha from whom this eternal process has sprung. So you get the whole world by taking refuge in this Lord. That so this is what is explained here. And then that process of taking refuge is further described in the next verses. The verse 5th and 6th. The verse 5th is very special for that. We shall try to study it in the next class. It is because it is just told, take refuge. But how to take refuge in God? We have to learn that also. So next verse will tell us about it. Any questions about what we discussed today? Yes, Shravani?
In the previous verse, it says that the roots, the visual of the tree, the roots which are coming downward, those are the karma of everybody's karma. How do you understand?
Oh, well, those are the secondary roots. Yes, they come down, they go up both. Adhascha mulani anusantatani. Those roots come down, but the down and cha is there. Means some come down, some go up. The idea there is that those roots are the karmas, and thus they become secondary propellants or secondary means by which this world keeps on growing. And that is how we generate what is called my karma. That I did this. Suppose you plant a tree. You go and buy a seedling and then put in lot of work, plant the seed. Now what? Now you start taking care of it, the work increases. The work increases, expectations increase that, oh well, there should be good flowers or good fruits to it, and that then not only there, the plan starts, you know, next year we should be doing like this, that it keeps on growing, and that anything you do, that becomes the seed, therefore for the further branching out. It keeps on getting branched out. So there is no end to this river of karma, they say. It goes on and on unless you transcend it. You have to go beyond it. It is, I remember that story that Swami had told to us several times. It was very favorite story of his, that don't think that you will be able to later cross this river of karma. It is that river Ganges is a very narrow stream where it originates. So you could just jump over it there. You don't have to really take much efforts to cross it. You can jump over it. But you feel, I will cross it over later. This is so nice river, why should I cross it right now? I will go along with it. Then the river goes on becoming wider and wider. When that Ganges comes to, say, Prayag, Allahabad, very broad this thing. It is difficult to now, let alone jumping. Swimming is also difficult. You cannot cross it swimming easily unless you are a champion swimmer. Then you think, well, let me cross it later. Sometimes gradually you go along that, and then you will see it becomes a sea. Now you cannot cross it by any means. So that is what happens to our karma also, that it goes on becoming bigger, 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 and then we don't then know where now, how can I go beyond it. So that is the secondary roots, that adhascha mulani anusantatani. That word is so beautiful, anusantatani, that they go on creating and procreating and procreating and all that, continuously multiplying. That is the meaning of those roots there. And our karma, whatever action we do with the sense of I associated with it, becomes that. So let us conclude with the closing prayers.
गीता सुगीता कर्तव्या किमन्यत् शास्त्र विस्तरैः या स्वयं पद्मनाभस्य मुखपद्माद्विनिसृता एकं शास्त्रं देवकी पुत्रगीतं एको देवो देवकी पुत्र एव एको मंत्रः तस्य नामानि यानि कर्माप्येकं तस्य देवस्य सेवा श्रीकृष्णार्पणमस्तु।